Good Tuesday evening, Bristol Bay. It's the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. The total run in the bay passed 3 million yesterday. Kings are still low in the Nooshigak, and the sockeye aren't pushing hard yet either. The sockeye run up the Chignik River is roughly half of what it was at this point in 2018, where the fishery saw its lowest run since statehood. It's Tuesday, June 30th. I'm your host, Izzy Ross.
You better hold on when I'm fishing. It's going to be crazy on board.
Coming up tonight, OBI Seafoods announced another case of COVID-19 at its Wood River plant in Dillingham. The sockeye run at the Chignik Weir is shaping up to be lower than in 2018.
Roughly half of what we saw in 2018 is our current state of the run. Typically, our peak of our run happens right around the last week of June, and we just really haven't seen that peak yet this year.
We look at the changes to habitat for the early run fish and why biologists are still hopeful that a bigger late run could mean commercial openers for the fleet there. Today is the last day for commercial fishing businesses and fishermen to apply for funds from the Paycheck Protection Program. The state announced the rule change on June 25th, giving fishermen and fishing businesses only 5 days to apply for funding. Now, an organization is asking Alaska's senators to advocate for an extension.
I don't think it's just fishermen who are still facing hurt. You know, I think we are some of the only ones who have been unable to access it as an entire industry.
All that and more on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
We're going to start off with the numbers on this Tuesday evening. The season's third harvest report from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute shows sockeye harvest in Bristol Bay lagging just under 80% behind where it was in 2019. However, according to Garrett Everidge from the McDowell Group, production is still ahead of where it was in 2015 and 16. Total harvest in the bay was at about 1.5 million as of Sunday evening, which lags significantly behind last year's late June harvest of 7 million fish. The total run in the bay passed 3 million fish yesterday. Starting on the west side, looking at those numbers, the Nooshigak represents just over half of the total bay run so far this year. Cumulative catch in the Nooshigak passed 1 million fish yesterday after fishermen harvested 285,000 sockeye. That was caught 5% by Igooshig set netters, 26% by Nooshigak set netters, and 69% by the drift fleet. A combined 72,800 fish escaped up the rivers in the Nooshigak district yesterday, bringing the season total escapement in the district so far to 670,000. The drift fleet in the Nooshigak finished an opener at 3:30 p.m. this afternoon. Set netters are nearing the end of an opener that ends at 7:30 p.m. tonight. The Nooshigak River sonar counted 30,800 sockeye yesterday, which brings escapement to 315,000. The sonar also logged 3,900 chum past the counter for a Nooshigak chum escapement of 41,900. 800 kings passed the sonar yesterday for a running season total king escapement of 30,700 in the Nooshigak. In the Wood River, the counting tower crew had counted 19,700 sockeye as of 6 a.m. this morning, bringing the running total escapement for the Wood River to 355,000. At the Igooshig River, the tower crew counted 1,700 fish as of 6 a.m. this morning, rounding out escapement in that river at 21,600 so far. Togiak once again more than doubled its total run with yesterday's catch of 1,500 fish. We don't have escapement numbers in the Togiak district. The total run is 2,400 fish. A daily harvest of 200,000 sockeye in the Naknek-Quijack district almost doubled the running total season harvest of 469,000. That breaks down to 6% from Quijack set netters, 19% from Naknek set netters, and 75% from the drift fleet in the Naknek. 10,000 fish escaped in the Naknek-Quijack district yesterday, 1,000 up the Quijack, and 9,000 up the Naknek. That brings the total escapement in the district to 122,000. A total of 2,500 fish in the Quijack River so far this season, and 120,000 up the Naknek. Drift and setnet fishermen had openers that ended at 3 p.m. this afternoon, and will have another 8-hour opener starting at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. That's in the full district for setnetters and in the Naknek section for drift boats. In the Igigik District, fishermen caught 80,000 fish yesterday, bringing the total harvest so far in Igigik to 556,000. Yesterday's catch is attributed 13% to Igigik set netters and 87% to the drift fleet in that district. Daily escapement in Igigik was 19,200, making the running total of escapement up the Igigik River 194,000. Igigik set netters had an opener that closed at 3 a.m. this morning. Both drift fleet and set netters in Igigik will have an opener starting at 7:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. No fish were caught in Ugashik yesterday, so the harvest is still 18,300. 2,000 fish escaped upriver in Ugashik, bringing the total escapement so far to 4,600. As of 5 p.m. yesterday, 2,760 sockeye had passed the Chignik Weir. The season total past the Chignik Weir is now 67,100. The early run is at almost 65,000. The late run is at 2,200. No Chinook passed the Weir, and no pinks had passed as of 5 p.m. yesterday. We'll have more on the situation over at the Chignik Weir a little later in the show. In Area M, fishing on the South Peninsula was closed yesterday. Fishers harvested 2,300 sockeye, bringing the season's harvest to 365,000. The fleet also caught 37 kings, bringing the total king harvest to 3,000. As of 9 a.m. this morning, there are 1,264 boats fishing across the bay, 361 of which are D-boats. That will increase to 1,277 vessels at 9 a.m. on July 2nd, 367 of which will be D-boats. Effort by district breaks down like this. The Nushigak still has the largest chunk of the bay's fleet, with 511 boats representing 40% of the bay-wide boats fishing. 158 of the boats fishing the Nushigak are D-boats. At 9 a.m. on Thursday, that number will increase by 2 boats, 1 single permit vessel and 1 D-boat, for a total of 513 boats. 28% of the boats in the bay are fishing in the Naknek-Quijack district. That's 375 boats, 102 of which are D-boats. In 48 hours, there will be 363 boats fishing in the Naknek-Quijack, but the number of D-boats will stay the same. Igigik's effort is just below the Naknek-Quijack at 27% of the fleet. 338 boats are fishing in Igigik, 94 of which are D-boats. At 9 a.m. on Thursday, that will increase to 340 boats with 97 D-boats. Togiak still represents just 3% of the fleet. 36 boats are fishing in the Togiak district and no D-boats. That won't change in the next 48 hours. And 2% of the bay's fleet is fishing in Ugashik. Right now, there are 22 boats fishing there, 7 of which are D-boats. That will increase to 25 boats at 9 a.m. on July 2nd. 9 of those will be D-boats. Over in the Port Muller test fishery, the Ocean Cat was able to fish stations 12 to 16 yesterday, despite poor inshore weather conditions. Breaking down what they caught, station 12 had an index of 73, 14 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh, and 19 in the 5 1/8. Station 14 had an index of 22, 8 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh. Station 16 had an index of 73, 15 fish in the 4.5, and 29 in the 5 1/8. That's it for the numbers right now. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the fish report in just a minute.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from GCI, offering connectivity to communities around the state with the latest smartphones and internet packages. A full list of services and store locations at gci.com.
We're back this evening. Today is the last day for commercial fishing businesses and fishermen to apply for funds from the Paycheck Protection Program. The Department of Treasury changed the PPP last week to include fishermen and crew members at the urging of the Alaska Congressional Delegation. Fishermen were previously considered self-employed, which barred them from applying for PPP funds for crew salaries. The state announced the rule change on June 25th, giving fishermen and fishing businesses only 5 days to apply for funding. Ephraim Freilich, a consultant for the Fishing Communities Coalition, says his organization has asked Senators Dan Sullivan and Lisa Murkowski to advocate for extensions to the PPP, a cause he says he feels hopeful about.
I think that's realistic. I don't think it's just fishermen who are still facing hurt. You know, I think we are some of the only ones who have been unable to access it as an entire industry. But everybody, you know, if you look at the economy, right, everybody needs the PPP to kind of keep going because the economy is not fully open. People aren't getting paychecks.
Frelich says he and the fishermen's organizations he works with hope to see greater structural changes to how economic disaster relief and Department of Agriculture funding are distributed to the seafood industry in the future. OBI Seafoods reported one new case of COVID-19 Monday at its Wood River plant in Dillingham. The person works for the company as a seafood processor. They are the fourth close contact of the 12 OBI cases announced last week. The others were announced by the city on June 26th and 27th. They were asymptomatic. All of the OBI workers who tested positive are currently being treated by the company medic, according to the city of Dillingham. The people who tested positive have been moved into separate isolation facilities within their company's closed campus. The city is working with OBI, the Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation, and the state on contact tracing. OBI identified the positive cases in its workers as part of the company's quarantine and testing protocol, according to the city of Dillingham. The company tested all workers before they traveled to Dillingham, and then twice during quarantine. The city also said the company is putting additional sanitation protocols in place. Two seafood processing workers tested positive for COVID-19 at the Icicle Seafoods plant in Igigik last week. According to an update from Lake and Peninsula Borough Manager Nathan Hill, the cases are not linked to another positive case the borough reported in mid-June. The total number of positive cases at Icicle's Igigik plant is now at 3. The cases were identified as part of that company's mandatory 14-day quarantine. In an update, Hill says the employees, quote, have been isolated from others and are doing well. The sockeye salmon run at the Chignik Weir is currently below what it was at this point in 2018, when the region saw its lowest return since statehood. In 2018, the run was at roughly 143,000 sockeye. The run this year is just under 70,000. Ross Rennick is the Chignik Area Management Biologist for Fish and Game.
Roughly half of what we saw in 2018 is our current state of the run. Typically, a peak of our run happens right around the last week of June, and we just really haven't seen that peak yet this year.
In the early 1950s, there was a run estimated at around 35,000, according to Rennick, but this season is shaping up to be the worst since statehood. It's impossible to know exactly why that is. Rennick says Chignik primarily has three ocean fish, or fish that spent 3 years in the ocean and two in freshwater. The fish coming back are 5 years old, from the 2015 brood class, which was relatively strong, with about 500,000 fish returning to spawn that year. Because of that, Rennick thinks the reason fewer fish are returning is environmental.
Most likely it's environmental conditions as to why these fish are not surviving, either in the ocean or in Black Lake. Black Lake is the lake that they return to, and they have had deteriorated lake conditions for several years now.
The early run spawns in Black Lake. Rennick says the lake's water levels have dropped since the 1970s, and that deteriorating habitat means the fish have less space to rear. University of Washington has monitored habitat at Black Lake for decades.
What they've seen since they've been out there since, you know, the 20s, that lake level has really dropped significantly over time. So that's the sockeye up there really losing a lot of habitat.
The late run this year is actually much higher than it was in 2018. Fish and Game uses an average genetics model each season to apportion fish from one run to the other. The curve over the past 10 years is attributing more fish to the late run.
That number could fluctuate depending on when the late run actually, we really, really start to see it transition from first to second run. There is hope, because the late run last year was much stronger than the early run, that there will be harvest opportunity. But we just have to track it and monitor it and see what comes in, it seems like.
Rennick says that those fish spawn in Chignik Lake, so rearing conditions are different.
A large percentage of our late-run fish are actually freshwater two fish, so they stay in the freshwater for 2 years. And our early-run is most dominantly a freshwater one fish. So the rearing habitats are a little bit different. Chignik Lake is a very large lake compared to Black Lake, which is much smaller. So there is opportunity for those fish to utilize that Chignik Lake habitat. A lot of the Black Lake fish do come down to Chignik Lake, but it usually takes them a little bit to get down there, and they could just not be surviving from Black Lake to Chignik Lake during that transition period.
How the habitat affects the early life stages of the fish, Rennick says, could be one reason for why the late run is doing a bit better than the early run. We're going to turn to the west side of Bristol Bay now with our west side fish reporter, Kendrick Poddick, who is here with me in the studio. Hey, Kendra.
Hey.
So what's the update on the west side?
Right. So I have an update from the area management biologist for the west side. Tim Sands talked about how the bay is looking. The wind was able to pick up quite a bit over the weekend, but it didn't make a big dent in the king rung for the Nooshigak. Sands says he's still worried about kings.
Definitely behind on kings still, and that is one of our biggest concerns. We're trying to do everything we can to get kings up the river. That's why we're taking breaks in the fishing. At the same time, we're not seeing so much sockeye push in that we're needing to fish hard to control that sockeye escapement, so it's allowing us to take those breaks for kings. Anytime we can take a break, we're gonna. I'm very surprised. We had all that wind over the weekend, mm-hmm. and I really thought we would either see increase in catches or increase in escapement, and we didn't.
So why are the king numbers so low?
Sands said it could just be a late run or other environmental conditions affecting the fish.
Could be late run timing, could be a smaller run than expected, but we won't know for a while. But, you know, we take it day by day and, mm-hmm. and look at the latest information we got and make our best decisions and hope it all works out.
So how are these late king numbers going to affect commercial openers for people who are fishing around the bay?
For openers to be affected from the low king escapements, there would need to be a big sockeye push, and Sands says we haven't seen that yet.
We're not seeing so much sockeye push in that we're needing to fish hard to control that sockeye escapement, so it's allowing us to take those breaks for kings.
Got it. Well, we'll keep an eye on those conditions and those runs over on the west side where we are right now. Thanks so much, Kendra.
No problem.
Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute's third harvest report of the season shows sockeye harvest in Bristol Bay lagging just under 80% behind where it was in 2019. But according to Garrett Everidge from the McDowell Group, production is still ahead of where it was in 2015 and 16. Total harvest in the bay was about 1.5 million as of Sunday evening. For more, we caught up with Garrett Everidge. Looking at the third harvest report from ASMI, it looks like we're lagging a lot behind where we were in 2018.
Thank you, Izzy. So that is accurate. As we compare where we are at in the 2020 season through Sunday, okay, that's statistical week 26, we are definitely lagging behind some of the recent years. For context, we've harvested about 5.8 million fish statewide through last Sunday. At this point in the season in 2018, for example, we had harvested about 14 million fish. We compare against 2018 because of that two-year life cycle with kinks. It wouldn't be very appropriate to compare it to last year. With sockeye, we see really all areas are slow, down about 70% on harvest of about 2.4 million fish. Last year at this point in the season, we had harvested more than 9 million fish, and we see the bay is generally slow. Kodiak, slow. Prince William Sound actually improved a little bit from last week, but they're at about half of where they were at this point last year. So yeah, the story is just that fishing is generally lagging behind. One thing that's interesting to see is, you know, we can compare this season versus longer data sets, like 5-year averages or 10-year averages. And so, you know, we don't want to get caught up too much on this year-to-year fluctuation, right? Because we know that there is some significant volatility inherent and normal in our fisheries. But it's kind of interesting to look at Bristol Bay, for example, the 5-year average there, and note that 2019 and 2018 were actually a little bit ahead of what is normal, at least from a harvesting perspective. So If 2019 is a little bit ahead of that historical average, and if 2020 is a little bit behind the historical average, when we compare that 2019 to 2020, it can feel pretty significant. That's kind of a comment on just how we interpret the data. But yeah, I think the big theme here for sockeye is that fishing around the state is slow, down about 70%. When we look at Kita, we do see a deficit down about 40%. Some areas are relatively strong, though. Kodiak is about nearly double where they were at this point last year, with some strong returns. The Alaska Peninsula or Aleutian Islands, Area M, they're only down about 20% from the same time in 2019. But Prince William Sound, where the majority of production typically occurs, they're down about 40%. But there have been some pretty good seine openers in Prince William Sound for Kita. The story on Chinook's lagging 2019, but not too significantly, kind of within that normal range, down just about 15%, with Southeast actually relatively strong compared to last year. But yeah, I mean, things throughout the state are just a bit slow. One thing that's moving counter to that is pink salmon in Area M is pretty strong. You know, we always compare an even year to an even year. So Alaska Penn has seen pink harvest about four times as strong as the same point in 2018. That's kind of interesting to see. Another thing we're getting reports of is just, you know, anecdotal reports from processors that and fishermen. The fish are just generally small, particularly sockeye in Area M and Bristol Bay. Also getting reports of pinks that are on the smaller end. If we just use some historical average weights, we estimate that about 30 million pounds of salmon have been harvested so far in 2020. So that's actually split nearly evenly between sockeye and Kita, with pinks making up the remainder. The key reason we're trying to comment a little bit more on average size is that, you know, we're using a somewhat imperfect indicator of harvest, right? Just the unit of a fish, right? So, you know, if you think about what we're dealing with that fish in terms of head and gut or fillets, one fish in one year can yield more or less in another. So It's just an important element. That's just something that we try to keep in mind and highlight as folks are trying to get a sense of how this harvest relates to excessal production, but also first wholesale production. That is, you know, what are we actually producing? What's coming out of our plants? And how do these numbers that we're looking at impact that flow?
Thanks so much for breaking this down for us this week as we kind of head into peak season, slowly but surely.
Absolutely.
Support for KDLG's fisheries coverage comes from OBI Seafoods, proud to partner with the fishermen and communities of Bristol Bay.
That does it for the show on this Tuesday evening. We're going to take a look at the marine weather forecast, and we have a message to the fleet on this evening as well. Over in Bristol Bay, the marine weather forecast. Tonight, a southwest wind at 10 knots, seas at 3 feet. On Wednesday, a south wind at 10 knots, seas at 2 feet, and areas of fog. And Wednesday night, south wind 10 knots, seas at 3 feet. In the marine weather forecast from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, a small craft advisory today, a south wind at 20 knots, variable wind at 10 knots from Port Muller East, seas at 4 feet. On Wednesday, a south wind at 25 knots, except for a south wind at 15 knots from Port Muller East, seas at 5 feet. And Wednesday night, south wind 25 knots, except for a southeast wind at 15 knots from Port Muller East, seas at 5 feet. In the tidal forecast at Nooshigak at Clark's Point, high tide at 12:10 a.m. at 19.4 feet, low tide tomorrow morning at 6:26 a.m. at 5.7 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, high tide at 12:18 a.m. at 19.8 feet, low tide at 6:42 a.m. tomorrow morning at 3.7 feet. And at the Igigik River entrance, low tide this evening at 6:46 p.m. in just a couple minutes at negative 0.1 feet, high tide at 11:33 p.m. at 11 feet. In messages to the fleet, this one's to Fortune and Nix. Hey all, 4th of July weekend is shaping up to be a scorcher, boys. We hope you have a happy Independence Day. Love you, Josh. From Heather. That's all for the report, messages to the fleet, the weather, all that good stuff. Reach out anytime, 842-2200, or email fish@kdlg.org. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here tomorrow.